The WA town offering a $1 million salary for a GP. A sea-mine manufacturing base proposed for Collie and Earth's close call with an asteroid. It's Friday, the 27th of January.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. How are you going? You know what? I need to admit something that I realised late yesterday. I wore the same tie 2 days in a row on Sunrise. No one else noticed. No one pointed it out. But I did notice. I was just looking through my Twitter stream and I was like, why is that?
Oh, same tie. And so do you have tie. How many ties do you cycle through?
There's a lot of ties, but I generally always favour blue.
Oh, yeah.
Sunrise viewers will notice this.
Yeah, yeah. It's a strong colour.
It's a trustworthy colour.
Yeah, indeed. It's a favourite choice of politicians.
So anyway, I just thought, this is the confessional, the West Live.
Yeah, it's a safe space.
You know, most of the people that matter aren't listening. And so, no, I'm only joking.
You say that.
Yeah, I know.
Channel 7 CEO will email you after the show.
I'll be getting a call. Mm.
And now let's talk Australia Day, because we've got another Australia / Invasion Day in the history books. And you've got a recap for us.
Yeah, so, of course, we had the fireworks and drone show, but the big news from overnight is two police officers have been attacked during riots in the city and East Perth. So the first riot broke out in Forest Place near the Perth train station, and then there was a second riot that broke out in East Perth near MacGyver train station, and two police have been injured. One suffered a head injury, one suffered a shoulder injury. Those police officers were taken to hospital to be treated. Really serious issues. We're talking about out-of-control gatherings, people throwing objects at police officers. It really marred the celebrations from overnight. Earlier, 100,000 people had headed to the city and surrounding areas to watch the fireworks and drone show. It kicked off at about 8:15. It was a scaled-back version of the old Skyworks. Now, we used to see, you know, 300,000-odd people flock the foreshore, Kings Park, South Perth, to watch the 30-minute fireworks show. This was different, scaled back, still had some fireworks and the drones as well. The Lord Mayor has said it was a success. 75,000 people were told in the CBD and 25,000 at other vantage points. Mm. Obviously, there was the Invasion Day protest earlier in the day. You know, the change the date debate just intensifies year after year. And I think just talking to people, it's becoming more and more difficult to celebrate that day.
Absolutely.
As Australia Day. It feels uncomfortable and it should feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real awakening, and it's probably our generation that's starting to change things, and we're probably wanting the change to happen quicker. I think if we were to have the voice to Parliament that gets up, I think then these sorts of things will follow.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you mentioned the voice, because now Labor finds itself in a very interesting position as far as the voice to Parliament goes, because one thing that stood out for me at a lot of those Invasion Day protests around the country was the opposition from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander activists about the voice. Like, a lot of people used those protests to call for a treaty and say that the voice doesn't go far enough. But it's going to be fascinating to see what impact that sentiment has when a referendum comes around, because it's, you know, like I completely agree that a treaty is better than the voice, which is a little bit tokenistic, but at the same time, it's better than nothing.
I feel like you've just got to, you've got to walk before you run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And change is a process, and it takes steps. You've got to bring people along with you.
And if it doesn't, and if you don't even get a voice because the referendum fails, then, where do you go from there?
So this is the thing. It's that referendum is relying on non-Aboriginal people, really, because when you consider the percentage of people that Aboriginal people make up of the population, it's a fraction of the total population. So it's really up to the non-Aboriginal people to make change.
And if non-Indigenous people think that Indigenous people don't want a voice, then, how will they vote?
So, it's a bit like the same-sex marriage. If you had same-sex people saying, we don't want this, then non-same-sex people aren't going to come out and vote for it, are they?
I know. It's going to be very interesting. And now, every now and then, a story comes along that makes you realise maybe you've chosen the wrong profession. And this next one surely fits into that category. Tell me about this crazy GP salary on offer.
Yes. So this is an annual salary package worth almost $1 million. Yeah, a small wheatbelt shire, the Shire of Quiriding, which is about 160 k's east of Perth, is desperate to get a doctor for its general practice in the town. It's prepared to cover all staffing and running costs of the general practice, leaving the entire gross billings, estimated by council to be more than $800,000, to the doctor.
Wow.
And wait, there's more. This is like the steak knives that come in. But wait, there's more. The Shire's also throwing in rent-free accommodation at a four-bedroom, two-bathroom executive family home as part of the package.
I would love to see what an executive-level family home in
the Shire of Quereting.
$800,000. Surely they would not have a
amount of money. Well, surely they wouldn't have a problem now. But the issue the Shire is saying is if we don't have a GP, then we don't have a hospital, then we don't have a medical clinic, then we don't have a chemist. You know, it all falls over from there.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's essential.
Yeah, and it's an issue in
regional
towns.
But why is it up
to
the council to do this?
Yeah, I guess it just wasn't being done. It wasn't happening, so they had to step in. And now this is a great story as well. And now I'm definitely more of a dove than a hawk when it comes to defence policy. But I have to say, I'm picking up what WA Defence Minister Paul Papalia is throwing down today. PAPS has proposed establishing a homegrown sea mine manufacturing base in Collie as part of the Southwest town's transition away from its decades-long reliance on coal mining. So instead of being a mining town, PAPS says it could still be a mining town, but making mines. Get it?
Yep. Tell me more.
This ambitious call comes after the Department of Defence federally announced this week that it was accelerating the acquisition of sea mines that'll be used to protect Australian ports and harbours and shipping lanes from enemy naval vessels. Apparently, they're very effective at doing that. And there are reports that the Defence Department is close to announcing a contract worth between $500 million and $1 billion to purchase the weapons from a European supplier. But Papalia over here in WA reckons, you know, Albo, we can make them. We can make them here in WA.
Do we have the knowledge to make them?
No, okay. We don't have that. Apparently, according to PAPS, because he was a naval diver.
Because coal mining's a little bit different to manufacturing sea mines.
So I hear.
Yeah.
But PAPS was a naval diver, right? So he one of his jobs was defusing sea mines. So he knows sea mines.
He knows how to stop them from working.
He knows his way around a sea mine.
Yeah,
he doesn't know how to make them work. He knows how to stop them from working. But still, you know one, you can figure out the other. And apparently, according to PAPS, once upon a time in Australia, they did make mines that were used for training exercises.
Okay.
So he thinks it's possible.
We think this is sort of political point scoring here?
Yeah, but PAPS is an ideas man.
He is an ideas man.
And so I appreciate that.
I get the vibe, though. This may have been talked about in the office and his media and PR team were going, maybe we just leave this one. And he's gone, it's Australia Day. I'm just going to give them a call.
Exactly how it would have gone down. And now Australia's consumer watchdog is taking a close look at more than 100 social media influencers after receiving tip-offs they might not be disclosing sponsored content. And so the ACCC said it received more than 150 tip-offs after its call-out on Facebook last week, with most of them about influencers in the beauty, lifestyle, parenting and fashion sectors, who tipsters believed had failed to disclose their affiliation with a product or company they'd been promoting. And now this comes as the ACCC has made it very public that they're going to crack down on this sort of stuff, and there's rules about how influencers can post certain types of content and how they have to disclose whether it's sponsored content. And because, if you don't disclose that you have a relationship with a business in terms of, why you're posting a particular type of content, you can be fined up to $2.5 million.
Can I just have an alternative view here for a moment?
Yeah, okay, I'm interested.
So these people are influencers.
Yeah.
We know that they're paid to do this. Isn't this just
the thing? No,
isn't this just known?
No, your mistake. Your mistake,
mate. What's my mistake here?
You and I know that, but average Joe blogs on social media, I don't think they do know it.
Really? Come on, the influencers. Come on. How many times do you see celebrities promoting products? We don't actually think that they use them and love them.
How many idiots hold their breath until they pass out because of something they see on TikTok? Like, we're not talking about necessarily the sharpest tools in the shed when it comes to social media.
I just take it as a given. Like,
I do too. I don't believe anything.
If you see someone promoting a product, do you know what I mean? Celebrity X ain't going to go out of their way to help you out with your skincare. Mm. That's not how life works. They're getting paid for that.
But I'm all for cracking down on influencers.
they'll be on to you.
Yeah.
You watch out, the COVIDiots first, now the influencers.
Yeah, exactly. And now, meanwhile, Russia has launched a wave of missiles at Ukraine on Thursday. Remember we spoke yesterday about Joe Biden committing some Abrams tanks to the Ukraine, Germany doing it as well. Well, Russia has launched 55 missiles in a reprisal attack, it seems like. 11 people have died, 11 others were injured after 35 buildings were struck across several regions. The worst damage seemed to be restricted to the Kyiv region, but also there were missile strikes on energy facilities in the Odessa region of Ukraine. And so definitely Russia and the Kremlin sees this as direct Western involvement, this sending of the tanks over there. 47 of the 55 missiles were shot down, but that was still enough to kill a number of people and cause all this damage, as it looks like Russia is committing to this tactic of targeting infrastructure in a freezing winter over there in the Ukraine. Their power stations have been destroyed. Millions have been plunged into cold and darkness, which is pretty horrible. But another aspect of this is the US has now designated Russia's Wagner Group, which is believed to have sent thousands of mercenaries into the Ukraine. They've designated as a transnational criminal organization, which paves the way for sanctions against the group, and Americans hope it'll further impede Vladimir Putin's ability to arm and equip his war machine. So I guess we'll wait and see about that. And now, Maddie, I don't know if you've been following this story, but earlier this week in Scotland, Isla Bryson, a transgender Scottish woman, was found guilty of raping two women and then transitioned after that. So she committed the crimes as a man, and then after she was caught, transitioned, and was remanded to a female prison after the sentencing, which caused fear and outrage about the safety of other female prisoners. Well, now, following that outcall, Bryson has been moved from Scotland's all-female Caunton Vale prison to a male facility after Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon intervened. And now she said it's important not to even inadvertently suggest that trans women pose a threat to women. It's not the case, but it's certainly interesting to follow because, as we've spoken on the show, this is all happening as the Scottish Parliament is trying to put through changes to gender recognition laws, which were sensationally blocked by the UK government earlier this month.
It's an interesting issue, isn't it? And I feel like it's a case-by-case basis here. But I can understand why those women were worried.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, I think. There's the Nicola Sturgeon, the Scottish First Minister, said that there's no one rule fits all when it comes to this sort of stuff. It's determined on a case-by-case basis.
And this is the thing with gender, isn't it?
Yep. You know, and it's also the safety of the prisoner as well. So in some cases where they haven't committed a violent crime like this, but they identify as trans, but maybe biologically had been born a man, like sending them to a male prison might not be safe for them. So it's
well, who says the male prisoners aren't going to be potentially attacked?
Exactly. That's the thing. It's case by case. And now don't panic. I don't want you to panic.
Oh, good, because I wasn't.
But there is an asteroid the size of a minibus that's about to pass by Earth in the coming hours. The space rock known as 2023 BU, not a very catchy name, will whip over the southern tip of South America just after midnight GMT, whatever that is. Mel, can we find that out? With the closest expected approach 3,600 kilometres away from the planet.
That's close.
It's very close. To give you an idea.
Isn't that like Perth to Melbourne?
So to give you an idea of how close that is, it will pass inside the satellite network that goes around the Earth, which is orbiting at 36,000 kilometres above us. So it's going to come way inside that. They don't think it's going to hit any of the satellites. They don't really know for sure. And the scary thing is this asteroid was only picked up last weekend by an amateur astronomer.
Hang on. Where's NASA? What are they doing?
Exactly. Well, no, they weren't
involved.
They're
too busy checking out what's happening on Pluto. Meanwhile,
it was this dude, Gennady Borisov, who operates from Crimea.
Which they've got enough going on there.
Annexed by Russia in 2014. So old Borisov, the amateur astronomer, has spotted 2023 BU, but then the professionals got involved and they worked out how big it was and its orbit, which is obviously the most important thing. But even if it was, so 8 a.m. our time. So there you go.
Okay.
So if you're listening to the West Live right now, it's a couple of hours.
Do you know what I love when you bring bring us this astronomy news? Because I always find, I find it on the, you know, mass media, like 2 days later.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You're really ahead of the curve on this.
And, but don't worry, though. Even if it does hit the Earth, which apparently it will not.
It'll just be a small
It will struggle to do much damage. Okay. It's only sort
just
of
a mini bus hitting you. Is it going to kind of burn up?
Burn up in the atmosphere. Okay, could produce a spectacular fireball, though. Just imagine like a Turaco.
Bigger than the fireworks last
time. A Turaco blowing up in space. That's what it's going to look like. Sport. You got some Scorchers news for us.
Yes, so the Scorchers are hoping to use Sydney Sixers' miserable Optus Stadium record to their advantage when the Big Bash League's two most successful teams clash in tomorrow's qualifier final. More than 30,000 tickets sold so far. I think there'll be a rush on them today as we get closer, and the weather's looking good, of course, for the weekend. The Sixers have only won once in four Perth trips since the Scorchers moved from their original home at the Wacker Ground, but three players are under an injury cloud for the Scorchers. So look, it's going to be an absolute blockbuster tomorrow night. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm excited to see what sort of reception Steve O'Keefe gets from the Sixers. After last year, he said that he hated playing at Optus Stadium and he didn't like WA Premier Mark McGowan because of the strict COVID border measures.
Can the people over East get over that? Goes, like, come on, last 2023.
In 2021, he said, I do not want to go to Perth. I don't like Mark McGowan. I hate playing at Optus.
We never do well.
I don't like green eggs and ham. Yeah. So there you go. He hated the plane flight as well.
Do you know what? If I were Scorchers fans going to the game, I would just make a big sign that said, you know, I hate playing at Optus, just to constantly, you know, get into the psyche.
And what is it with tennis dads? Like, they're all bloody plonkers. Have you noticed that? There is something.
Yelena Dokic's dad.
Yep, yep. Tamir. Bernard Tomic. Yeah. His dad. All the dads.
They're all kind of like, don't. There's dance mums and then there's tennis parents.
Tennis parents. Richard Williams, we saw in King Richard, the movie. He was also a bit of a weird dude. Well, the latest example is Novak Djokovic's father, so the apple hasn't fallen too far from the tree, who has been posing with Russian demonstrators during a protest at the Australian Open in support of Vladimir Putin. So the tournament has been tossed into scandal after police detained four men outside Rod Laver Arena on Wednesday night, and now video has emerged showing Novak Djokovic's dad appearing to pose with the group of men, and the video, there's been a rough translation of him saying, "Long live the Russians."
Oh, jeez. It's a bad look, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just turf him out. Turf him out of the country.
He might be banned from the tournament. We'll wait and see. The Wild West. And this story from Fitzroy Crossing truly is quite wild.
I love this story. So this is a crocodile versus cop. I don't know if you've seen the vision. It's amazing.
I have. So
this freshwater croc was seen wandering the streets in Fitzroy Crossing. Of course, they've had the flood. So this is a surprise that's come out of the floods. It was wandering down the main street, 2 a.m. Cops gone with a towel, armed with a towel. They don't learn this at the academy up in Joondalup. He got a towel. And the theory was he would throw it over the freshwater croc. Croc.
Do we edit that out? I don't know.
It might have been more effective if that's what he was attacking. But with the croc anyway, not very effective. So the croc, just stay with me here. The croc has taken to the towel and just absolutely attacked the towel. It took them hours. The cops tried for hours. They ended up getting They were Googling what to do to subdue a croc. They ended up getting in a wildlife volunteer, tranquilized the croc.
I'm crying.
They tied stuff around the croc, around its jaws, loaded it up, and they took it back to the river out in the environment. They don't call this segment the Wild West for nothing.
I'm going to say crocodile. I'm not going to abbreviate crocodile. I'm deeply, deeply scared.
The worst offence for me this week was two ties.
Yeah.
A tie, the same tie, 2 days in a row. Yeah, turns out I'm on to my second misdemeanour.
You thought it was your ties, and then your pronunciation said, hold my beer.
Oh, the weekend's going to be great.
Oh, my goodness. Stay away from those crocs. And that's your news from the West Australian on Friday, January 27. And don't forget to subscribe to West Live on your favourite podcast player.
After that, why wouldn't you want to subscribe?
Maddie, hopefully we're back on Monday.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Have a good one, mate.
You've been listening to the West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
Australia, an entire generation has been waiting for this.
The biggest star maker on the planet is back.
You are a star.
This is Australian Idol.
Monday, Jan 30 on 7 and 7+.